Dear Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come alongside this topic of adoption tonight as we look into Galatians and Ephesians. We look through the Word, Lord, and help us to understand what spiritual adoption really is and what it means to be adopted for life, for eternity, into our Father God's home with our King, our Savior, our priest, and our brother, Jesus Christ. It's just an amazing doctrine, this concept of adoption, Lord. And we ask that you would help us to have a better insight today from your word on that and to be able to apply it to our lives and how we think about who we are, who our neighbors are, and who our neighbors' kids are throughout this community. We pray in your name. Amen. All right, adoption of the least. The only way. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Now, when I do my devotions, one of the things I like to do is go back and see what others have written. And so part of this devotion is also based on one of my favorite books. If you don't have it, I'm sure we can get it back on the book table. I've got an extra copy at home if you really want it. I'll just jack up the price a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. John MacArthur, Slave. Excellent, excellent book that talks about what our position was and what our position is now in Christ. So I recommend that. And then Adopted for Life, Russell Moore, has been extremely valuable. He's a pastor who went out and adopted children from another country. And he writes about his struggles and his learning and his experiences, both from a spiritual and a physical, emotional perspective as he's gone through that journey. So, Russell Moore, a good book there. Also, Jeremiah Johnson had done a post on Grace to You on heavenly adoption as well, which was very beneficial in pointing me in the right direction. So, Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." So if you just take a moment and look at those verses, it is by the adoption as sons, if you follow the wording, the adoption as sons that allows God to place His Spirit in us and for us to cry, "Abba, Father." Okay? And through that, we become an heir through God. And I just take that moment to kind of point out some of that wording because oftentimes we just skip over the adoption part. Because we really like that last part, that we are an heir through God. So what does it mean to be adopted as sons? So that we can call out Abba Father and no longer live our lives a slave to sin, but to have true eternal inheritance. What is the doctrine of adoption? Why should we even care? What does it mean to be adopted for life? How is biblical adoption manifested in a true believer's life? What does it look like? And what role should we as believers and the church play toward adoption in today's society? Now, that's what I set out to answer. I'm not going to be able to answer all of that today, and you should be thankful. We'd be here for a long time. But I'm hoping that at least as we start to dig into some of these from a biblical perspective, we'll be able to set our stage for further devotions and application in your life. You see, in today's culture, adoption is an outgrowth of our state systems. It's that they are taking over the basic role of care and protection to children whose parents are not available to them for one reason or another. They don't have the proper caregivers. It's unfortunate that these children are trapped in these situations. And oftentimes, the parents put their careers, their social engagements, their entertainment, their hobbies, even their escapes, alcohol and drugs, in front of parenting and caring for their own children. Now, some cases are more clear-cut than others, for sure, but sufficient to say that parents are not parenting their kids. They are leaving them vulnerable to a selfish, unforgiving world. Now, I want you to picture in your brain what some of these kids' lives are like when mom and dad are not available or, frankly, interested in what happened at school, what their issues are with bullies, what homework that they're struggling with, what activities that they want to be part of, who their friends are, and they sit in front of the TV. Or worse, they don't even have a place to stay. So they go from house to house, or they're living on the streets. And that's just not in our slums, in our bigger cities. That's here. That's in the suburbs as well. And definitely across the world. So we see grandparents and siblings, families and churches and communities, and strangers. Strangers stepping up to help care and provide some type of steady base for these children until they reach independence. Now, recently, our family, as you know, has entered into the final phases of adoption placement for two lovely girls, Trinity and Zendaya. You know, it seems for Kim and I, this has been an obvious yes over the last 5 years that we've been involved in this case. God has clearly brought us to the point last December when we actually moved into adoption placement. Frankly, we couldn't ever imagine saying no, not now, maybe next year, or let's wait until the next phase of life. Now, many have told us that we must be saints. Well, yeah, we are saints, but for other reasons. Not because we're willing to adopt these two girls in need, but because we were adopted spiritually by God our Father. So, who defines the context of adoption today? Is it the secular world? Is it the state system? Or is it the Bible? So we need to look at what the authoritative Word of God has to say about adoption and how it's relevant to our everyday lives. So in this book, Adopted for Life, Pastor Russell Moore notes that adoption is more than just couples who want more children. It's more than members of a community helping out to see what they can do for children who are suffering. It's not about folks who are out trying to do good deeds. It's about the Great Commission, the gospel itself. And we'll unpack that here. You see, the concept of adoption is hard for us because we are too busy ourselves focusing on ourselves, getting our next promotion, entertainment, our deserved downtime, because Lord knows we need it, right? And we deserve it. We're working hard constantly. In our families, in our communities, in our workplaces. Doing good deeds, we feel like we are somehow contributing. We're somehow validating that, God, you were wise to choose me because look at these good deeds I'm doing for you. And we've talked about that. And that leads to sin. These are not bad things. All in all, but they're good things, they're joyful things, things that we should seek out, whether it be entertainment, promotions, downtime. But what about caring for the lost, the lame, the rejected, and the fatherless? Who will care for them? Is it not your duty as a member of our community, a member of a church, or as a believer in Christ? I say that it is. However, we are not to adopt children into our families out of a sense of duty. Yet, each one of us, especially believers in the Church of Christ, are to have a stake in adoption because Jesus has a stake in adoption. In Psalm 68:5, we are told that our Father is the Father of the fatherless. And in Matthew 25:40, that Jesus insists on calling the least of these his brothers. If God is their father and Jesus is their brother, what does that make us? Think about that for these children. If God is their father and Jesus is their brother, what does that make us? Pastor Moore has adopted two boys from two different homes in Russia. And he recalls times where he had his sons out in public, at like a grocery store, and good-intentioned people would come up and say, "So are they really brothers?" He would say, "They are now. They are brothers now." Why do people ask such questions? What is the point that they're trying to make? Simply because they look different, but they look kind of similar? That they may or may not be brothers? And why does that matter? Because in this society, we sense with our eyes. And we accept that the paradigms of the world around us. And that's how we start to think and process. We forget what the real world is and what God has truly called us to. Now, my girls and my boys, they don't have the same visual features. That's probably not going to happen to me. But the assumption is that they're not real siblings. That they're not equal in position, in protections or promises that real siblings share. Example, working with our financial advisor, now that I'm retired from the military and transitioning into a new life, no less than four times as we went through all the transition documents did it come up, "Do you want to treat the girls the same way you want to treat the boys?" And he didn't mean anything negative by it. It was just not as common as you'd think. Of course, our answer was, "We're adopting these girls. They are equal in position and protection and promise. They are no different than my boys." So, here's the point. If you say that you are a believer in Christ Jesus and you have accepted his saving work on the cross, you truly are an equal child, sister, brother in Christ. You are really brothers and sisters in the house of God with every blessing and promise for eternity. God is your father, your real father. And it's by adoption. There's no other way. You were once the son or daughter of the evil one. Remember? You were a prisoner to sin. You had no escape. You were damned to eternal hell. Now think about this picture. God sought you out, caused you to believe in the gospel, motivated you to repent from your old, selfish, evil ways, and place all hope in the completed work of Christ on the cross. Now, you are lifted. You are resurrected up to be brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ and fellow believers forever in the adopted family of God. How amazing. How amazing indeed. So, where would we be without adoption? Can you really so easily just brush off the concept of adoption and what it means today in our society? Can you look at those children in need and say, "Well, that's great that this set of parents is willing to adopt," or "Adoption just isn't for me. It's just really not who I am. It's not really how I'm called to serve." I'd say, really? It goes much deeper than that. This concept of adoption is a biblical perspective, and we need to see it and how it should inform our thinking. Have you ever considered why Scripture encourages us to call God our Father? What eternal truths does that simple title, Abba Father, point to? And what does it teach about the radical change that happens in each and every one of us that God brought into our lives for those whom He loves? Just like children who are caught in broken families and state systems, we spiritually begin in a state of unrepentance. We are hopelessly lost in sin, and we are condemned to suffer the due penalty of our sin. But God graciously intervened, transforming, that's that radical change part, transforming His people by grace through faith and fitting us for righteousness and an eternal home with Him. That's where our title comes from, our eternal home with Him. He becomes our Abba Father. You see, that is not that different from these children that we talked about earlier who don't have a permanent home, who are lost in the system being shuffled about, that nobody can afford to take the time and energy with to truly love, regardless of how they perform and how they act. But these children don't understand that. They don't understand that type of love that can only come from God. So to describe our new relationship with God, I'd like to quote from one of my favorite books, Slave, by John MacArthur. It says, "That God in His grace would free us from sin and make us His slaves is a wondrous truth to comprehend. What a privilege to know and obey the heavenly Master. And yet the Lord has bestowed an even greater distinction upon those who are His own. Having delivered us from the destitution of sin, God not only receives us as slaves, but He also welcomes us into His household and made us members of His very family. He not only rescued us, He purchased us, He befriended us, and He took us in. He has also," and here's the point, "adopted us, thereby transforming those who were formerly children of wrath into the sons and daughters of righteousness. All of this is possible through the redemptive work of Christ, who is the only begotten Son and the firstborn among many brethren." See, this very term adoption is filled with ideas of compassion, kindness, grace, mercy, and love. Most of us are familiar with today's concept of adoption that my family is currently undergoing because we see it happening around us. We hear about it. Media puts it in the papers, puts it in the news channels. Now, most of you probably know someone who is adopted and or is adopting. But adoption in the world of the New Testament was not as common. It was reported in Roman society that formal adoption of slaves was somewhat uncommon, that it was permissible under Roman law, but it did not occur in most instances. See, this makes God's adoptive love toward us that much more remarkable, in that He has done the unexpected by adopting all His slaves as His own children and naming us His heirs. In ancient Rome, the act of adoption immediately granted the former slave his freedom, permanently placing that slave into the family of his master. So also, as adopted children of God, we have been set free from our slavery to sin. Moreover, we can rest assured knowing that we have been given a permanent place in the family of God. A permanent place in the family of God. You see, adoption in the Roman times signified a new beginning, an entrance into a new family, such that all previous obligations and ties were broken. The adoption process then and now consists of several specific legal procedures. The first step is to terminate the adopted child's social relationship and legal connection to their natural family. The second step is to make that child a permanent member of his or her new family. Once the adoption is complete, the new son or daughter, here's the point, is then completely under both the care and the control of the new father. The previous father no longer has any authority or power over his former child. In the Roman households and still today, the authority of the father of the family was final and absolute. And that authority extended to those adopted into the household, starting at the moment of their adoption. So it is with us. Ephesians 2:3 says that the Lord looks upon lost and wicked as children of wrath. In Romans 6:17, he breaks the chains of our former master, sin. John 8:44 states, he removes us from the authority of our former father, the devil. All ties to our previous life are broken, and we are grafted into his eternal family, treated as if we had been there all along. As if we had been there all along. No difference from birth or from adoption. From our Heavenly Father's perspective, no hint of our past life lingers, and none of the old animosity between us remains. We are his children, submitting to his authority and resting in his care. The benefits of adoption into God's family have been described as God now viewing us and treating us as he does his own son with infinite love. The Father cannot give anything but the best to his son, and likewise, he will not give anything but his best to us who are in Christ. Which is why in Romans 8:28 we hear that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Stumbled across this quote and couldn't resist. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones noted. Yeah, that's enough right there. If God has adopted you into his family, if you are a child of God, your destiny is secure. It is certain. It is a guarantee. If God has taken me into the family, I am not only a child, I am an heir, and nothing and no one can ever rob me of that inheritance. Are you feeling safe and secure, yet adopted into God's family? More importantly, Jesus, our Savior, also welcomes us into the family of God, where by adoption we are eternally related as a brother or a sister to Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. That he is Christ. Jesus, our Redeemer, our King, our High Priest, and yes, our brother in Christ, or in heaven. The Apostle Paul would have been familiar with this method, the meaning of adoption in Roman society, for he used the language of adoption to paint a vivid picture for us. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, describes how God's spiritual adoption had set believers free from the rigid legalism of Judaism. So remember, they were under the law. Not that the law could save them, but they were under the law so that the law could point to them their need for an external savior, for someone else to step in on their behalf. Galatians 4, 4-7, as we started, says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Hopefully, that verse means more to you now. Unfortunately, I'm still not done. So bear with me just for a couple more minutes. Paul further addresses the glories of our adoption as believers in Romans 8, 14 through 17. Now, I know you were thinking it, and you're going to go there. For all who have been led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. In the book Slave, John MacArthur expounds on the value of our adoption in the family of God, and what he has written has really hit home for me. Though we were formerly enslaved to sin and the condemnation of the law, we have been permanently liberated through our adoption into the family of God. As His adopted children, we enjoy the profound privilege of an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, to whom we cry out with a childlike affection, Abba. A term of intimate endearment, Abba is an informal Aramaic term for father, and it expresses tenderness, dependence, and childlike assurance that lacks any anxiety or fear. No anxiety or fear. Jesus Himself used the term in the Garden of Gethsemane when He poured out His heart to His Father in Mark 14:36, that we would be allowed to address the Father in the same way Jesus did underscores the magnificent reality of our adoption. To be considered heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ is a remarkable truth that we should never take for granted. So next time you see a diverse or a blended family in the grocery store or in the parking lot, and you catch yourself about to give one of those kind of scrutinizing looks, are those kids really part of the same family? Are they really brothers and sisters, do you think? Are those adults really their parents? Why would those adults care for those children as if they're their real parents? Oh, how giving they must be. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. How giving you must be to care for these needy children. I could never do that. They're disrupting your life plans. They're placing stress on your real family. Think about God's concept of adoption and what the truth really is that we are so often blinded to. The truth of spiritual adoption, that we can all be part of an eternal adoption into the family of God. We just have to turn to Christ. Trinity and Zendaya are my real girls, and they are Keenan Callan's true sisters. They are being adopted into our family. And I can tell you, it's tough. But they are being adopted into our family through no examination of worthiness, no effort on their part. Not because they're pretty, smart, bubbly, or super energetic, because they are. That's just a bonus. But rather, they are being adopted purely out of grace. It's God's grace, not Jim and Kim's grace. And trust me, our grace is not sufficient. But God's is. Grace that overflows from the true fountain of love, patience, joy, and peace that was freely given by God our Father through Jesus Christ. Pastor and author Russell Moore has helped me dig deeper into the real definition of adoption. And it drives Kim and I forward every day in this challenging process. We are eternally blessed to be given such a significant role of shaping our children's lives with a biblical upbringing. Our Abba Father has provided us with pastors, church fellowship like you, Christian friends, and most importantly, the guidance and the restraint of the Holy Spirit. We follow in the footsteps of so many families that have come before us in caring for the unborn, the discarded, the ignored, and the forgotten. Let us all in Christ Jesus learn to actively love our neighbor and their children the way our Abba Father loves the fatherless. If you pray with me. Thank you, God, for your great mercies in calling, saving, and redeeming your lost and wayward children in the real, true, eternal family of God through the only means available, adoption. We see, Lord, that there are so many parallels and applications of this doctrine of adoption in our lives and society. Help us to embrace the Great Commission by sharing the gospel to the least, the lost, hurting, and rejected. May we always remember that Jesus insists on calling the least of us his brothers. We were and are the least that have been called by grace to full adoption and to the eternal salvation of Christ Jesus. We too will glorify and praise God in heaven forever with our risen Lord Jesus Christ if we but heed the call of redemption and turn in forgiveness toward God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ who reigns forever. What hope we have is for yet the best to come in the adopted family of God our Father for eternity. Amen.